Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Metro Detroit, and two introductions at age 15 changed his life. He's spent his entire adult life serving organizations committed to changing and influencing the lives of individuals in greatest needs. Since 2001, he's been the CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of Oakland and Macomb Counties, serving 2,700 members. Since 2014, he's also been the CEO of Renaissance Unity Church, Church of Today. His name, Brett Talander. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Brett Talander, the CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of Oakland and Macomb Counties, serving 2,400 young members. Brett, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, thrilled to be here with you today.
Can we start by talking about your parents and your childhood?
You know, absolutely. It's when I look back on my childhood, I think it was one of those first opportunities to recognize that you can't be prepared for what life is going to throw you, but life is ready to respond to what you need. And I, growing up, you know, for me, it may have looked like the all-American family, two parents, three brothers, and everything going smooth until mental illness showed up in our family. And a dad who was committed to working and a mom who was struggling, you don't necessarily aren't prepared for that. But what is amazing is the opportunity for life to come forward and rush forward with answers and people who are willing to help, the generosity of life that shows up in people who are willing to help you out and get you through. And whether that was at the Boys and Girls Club for me at a young age or through my local church, it was an opportunity for that lesson in life to be taught at a very young age.
Speaking of which, at age 15, you were introduced to the Church of Today in Warren, Michigan, led by the late, great Jack Boland. Tell us about the late, great Jack Boland and the Church of Today.
You know, it's interesting. I remember going across, you know, 696 wasn't through all the way in those days. It stopped at I-75. But I remember that morning, that Sunday, the first time I was on the way there, not happy about having to go there, and watched myself try to make a deal with God to look for a sign that this is the place I should be. And I remember walking into that church, not having seen the sign along the freeway. But I remember when Jack Boland took to the stage and shared a message of hope and inspiration. He did that his entire career until he drew his last breath. He was always focused on inspiring people to be called higher, to be able to reach their full potential. And Jack was able to do that with folks who walked out of prison, to multimillionaires who are looking to be able to fill that space within their life. And it touched me, and it was a place for me in my life at the right time to be able to open up for me that there was much more in this world to offer than had been experienced up to that point.
The Sunday morning service was broadcast locally, and he was famous for the mastermind principle. What was that, Brett?
You know, mastermind, the whole mastermind principle is rooted in Napoleon Hill's work and a number of great leaders and thinkers who really helped shape this country. And Jack was able to take the mastermind principle and put it into a program and into a format that drew people together to improve their lives in a way that was very tangible and undeniable. And the mastermind principle is alive and well today, and it is timeless. It's a principle that allows people to come together with the understanding and the faith that when they set their minds on what it is they want to achieve, that the universe will step forward and respond to them in a very personal way. And the mastermind principle has been about changing lives since Jack introduced it to folks.
What's the biggest thing Jack Boland taught you, Brett Talander?
I think the thing that I took away from Jack's experience and a lot of opportunity to be able to learn from him was how important it was to connect with the person who's right in front of you. And he did that in a way that I have seen very few people be able to do that. He made it clear that every single person matters. And that is something that has rested with me since he did take his last breath. And I think everybody who had the opportunity to meet him felt that Jack was a very close personal friend. And it wasn't just a feeling, it was the truth.
He regularly brought in, during weeknights and on the weekends, great speakers, motivational speakers. Were there one or two that you said, wow, and left with a lasting impression of?
Now, Jack was able to introduce people here in the region to real leaders who could communicate a message and touch you when you heard them speak. Og Mandino was one of those very first who would usher in the holiday season and would release his first books, but he would always leave you, Og would always leave you with a story that you would never forget and one that would call you to a higher place within yourself. And he also had the opportunity to give folks like Michael Wickett and Les Brown and Wayne Dyer the opportunity, Sonia Friedman, the opportunity to share what their gifts were and do it in such a way that he would set them up so they would be able to influence a number of people. And I think each one of those names that I recall continue to make a difference today in the way that they do.
Og Mandino has passed. He was a very soft-spoken man. I believe his books have sold more books as motivational books than anybody else in the history of the world. His first one was The Greatest Salesman in the World, A Better Way to Live. I would go to Borders every 4 or 5 months to motivational section just to see if there was a new Og Mandino book. He was spectacular. So, also, Brett, at 15, you were introduced to the Boys and Girls Club. It changed your life. And since then, it's changed thousands of other young people's lives. Tell us about the Boys and Girls Club of America.
You know, I remember the Boys and Girls Club came into my life. I was actually at my church, Jack, and was with a group of teens who were coming together and saying, what did they want in their life at that time? It could be maybe, you know, I was 15. There were kids in our group who were talking about wanting their next new car. For me, I was working at Burger King, and I wanted to do something different than work at Burger King. So I asked for a job. My request was for a job that I could be involved with that would make a difference in people's lives. And it wasn't the next day at school. That was a Sunday night. Monday, I walked into school, and there was a posting for the Boys and Girls Club in Royal Oak. And I applied for that job and had the opportunity to meet the founder, Jack Salter, and was able to interview with him and Don Reed, and had the opportunity to start with the Boys and Girls Club that very summer. And it has been something I've enjoyed every step of the way since those first days when I was 15.
We're talking to Brett Talander, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and with Brett Talander, the CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of Oakland and Macomb Counties. You learned of this club at age 15. Brett, what did the club mean to you as a kid?
Well, I had the opportunity to see Jack Salter, who was the founding executive director, over decades. You know, that club started in a log cabin, Jack, and now it's in the same location in Royal Oak, but in three other locations, serving two counties. And what was impressive about the club then was what our staff are committed to doing today in each of our locations, is that the club was focused on making a difference in each of the kids' lives in a way that they needed it most, whether it was being able to see them progress through school or to be able to overcome personal challenges that they were facing. You know, in my position now, I get the benefit of people who walk through our doors who were members in the 60s and the 70s, and they tell the same story about that the club gave them a safe place to go. It gave them guidance. In many cases, I can think of Gary Klein, who is now a thoracic surgeon in New York, who shares the story of coming to the club, and that the club was the place where through field trips and other social events, he really came out of his shell, and he had really struggled in connecting with people, but the club provided that context with him, and now being a prolific surgeon, and that story is told over and over and over again. The club, and through Jack, and then Don Reed, who was the number two at the club for so many years, and all of the different staff members who worked at the club, their commitment to reaching kids where they were at and helping them go where they wanted in life, that's the special sauce. That's those caring adults who connected with those kids on a daily basis at the Boys and Girls Club, and that continues today with our 2,800 members.
Let's go back 151 years. 1864. Lincoln was still alive. Lincoln was the president. Three women start this organization in Hartford, Connecticut. Two sisters, Mary Goodwin, Ellis Goodwin, and Elizabeth Hammersley. And today, 4+ million young people around America, 4,100 clubs facilities. How has it lasted 151 years, and it's the fastest growing such service organization in America? Impossible.
Well, I think that that's how those three women felt at the beginning when they started. They probably thought what they intended to do was impossible. You know, they would see these clinker boys, they would call them. They were the kids who worked where the coal pits were burned, and the clinker is the hot coal that would kick out from the fire. And after their day at the working for a penny or two to catch those clinkers, they would run through the town and right past these three women who realized that these kids needed a place to go. And since that very time, when they figured out what the commitment and connection would be that would cause those kids to stop in that first storefront and connect with the Boys and Girls Club. In those days, I sometimes call it the unenlightened time, it was just boys at that time. They realized that connecting with them and having fun and providing consistent instruction and boundaries for those kids made a difference. And today, whether it's in our urban centers or our rural locations or our Native American lands or clubs on military bases, kids are able to turn to Boys and Girls Clubs and find a plan for their future, a hope built within the staff and volunteers who care about those club members. They're able to be able to plan for their future and find change. And I think the Boys and Girls Club is an incredible story because there's no hurdle. You can be black or white, male or female. It doesn't matter what your economic background is. We believe in this country, and one of the greatest things that is true about the United States is that we believe that everybody should have the opportunity to pursue happiness. Now, there's no guarantee that that pursuit ends well, but the point is that you should have the opportunity to pursue that. And through Boys and Girls Clubs, 4 million kids come through our doors and have that opportunity and find that support and to be able to build what I believe is going to be a stronger country as we continue to move forward.
If you want to learn more, www.boysandgirlsclubs.us. What's the age range and the age makeup of the members?
You know, kids come to the Boys and Girls Club, they can be anywhere between the ages of 6 and 18, and we take them from the very beginning to the time that they graduate from high school, and we hope that every one of our club members graduates from high school with a plan for their future. But at age 6, when they walk through the doors, they get their first Boys and Girls Club card. Denzel Washington, who's our national spokesperson, still has his Boys and Girls Club card from the moment when he joined the Mount Vernon Club, his Boys and Girls Club. And we all know what Denzel has done with his life, but at a very young age, he was taught the responsibility of bringing his Boys and Girls Club card, of showing up and taking advantage of opportunities. And that happens throughout all of our clubs in so many different ways, whether it's club members who come to us for tutoring and homework help, or they participate in athletic programs or art programs, or in our situation where 42% of our kids are teens coming for leadership programs and the opportunity to plan for a future. Those are the opportunities that are there for all kids, no matter what their background is. They say that for a long time we were known as the positive place for kids. And right now, what we know is that great futures start at the Boys and Girls Club.
If there's a listener that says, hey, I've gone past your facility in Southfield or Ferndale or the one on East Lincoln and Campbell, and I see kids there all the time, every day, but I just don't have the money for my kids to join. It's got to be a couple hundred dollars a week.
You know, that's the magic about Boys and Girls Clubs. You know, those three women made a commitment not to put any obstacle in front of those boys when they started in Hartford. And that's true in our clubs now. You know, our annual membership fee is $25 a year, and that lets you come year-round to be able to participate at the Boys and Girls Club through our drop-in programs and all the different programs that we offer. But often, even at $25 a year, a single mom could come in with four kids, and that's $100 out of her pocket. So our staff are empowered that when they pick up that there's a financial burden in any shape or form, that they're able to scholarship those club members immediately without question. So in our case, about 20% of our total membership are fully scholarshiped. That $25, though, is important when it can be paid because we want the members to understand that this is their club. This isn't my club. This isn't their parents' club. This is the Boys and Girls Club members' club. And that $25 is a way. I remember when I started at the club, membership fee was $3. So at $25, it's today's version of the $3 fee. But we try to put no burden in front of anybody.
When you started, the Whopper was probably only 40 cents.
Very true.
So, and it truly was a Whopper. So, all right, you're the CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of Oakland and Macomb Counties, four facilities serving 2,700 members. 370 kids come a day. In the summer, they're open from Monday to Friday, 8 till 6, and then Saturday, teens for special programming. What do the kids do all day?
You know, from the moment they walk in the doors, they're greeted by people who care about them. It's a great way to start your day, that somebody walks in and they know your name and they know you from yesterday, or if you're new and you walk through the doors for the very first time, there's somebody to greet you and connect you with the club. And then you can participate in so many different things. Like this week, we've had camps, we've had cooking camps, we've had trips to the Detroit Zoo, we've had all kinds of different opportunities throughout the week for the club members to participate in. Depending on the age, what I like to believe is that we set up a really good foundation for kids between the ages of 6 and 12. And then for our teens, we want to make sure that they have the opportunity to grow and develop through different opportunities. We present them with opportunities to explore various career options or connect with leaders in the business world where they can begin to hear about what's going to be very important to them in just a few short years when they graduate from high school.
Amazing. $25 a year per kid. Brett Talander, www.boysandgirlsclub.us. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with Brett Talander. Brett, the facility in Royal Oak on East Lincoln and Campbell is named the Jack and Patty Salter Club. Tell us about Jack and Patty Salter.
You know, Jack was the first executive director for our organization. He started in 1958, came from California, walked into a log cabin, and along with the Optimist Club and the club founder, Sylvester Christie, began to roll out a dream that started to play out each decade with a commitment to serve more and more youth. So when we opened at our current location, after a partnership with the city of Royal Oak at that location, and they came up with the idea to honor the naming of that building and do it in Jack and Patty's honor, it couldn't have been a better choice. And now it serves seniors and Boys and Girls Club members out of the same location. It's a true partnership, and it reflects the spirit that both Jack and Patty bring to everything that they do.
Brett, what have the kids taught you?
I think that the biggest lesson I take away from our club members, and it's been probably true no matter the decade you choose to look at, is the incredible resilience that youth have. The ability to, when surrounded by folks who are committed to providing opportunity, can thrive And, you know, as adults, sometimes we can begin to fall into a complacency or even a pattern of complaining about things that don't matter. The traffic, the day. And when you look at these Boys and Girls Club members who are planning their future and wanting to experience something more, and that they celebrate change, that they believe in fairness, that they want to see everyone valued no matter where they come from, it is a reminder for all of us, no matter our age, that that is the innocence of life that should be celebrated and lived by no matter what decade we personally happen to be in ourselves.
What have the caring adults who mentor, volunteer, and or partner with your kids taught you?
That the sky's the limit. You know, we've got incredible donors and volunteers who become very passionate about the mission of the Boys and Girls Club, and they stand behind it. They volunteer their personal time. They give of their personal treasure. They make a commitment that is transformative when it is implemented through the mission of the Boys and Girls Club. Sometimes that impact is demonstrated through a personal relationship with one of our club members, and sometimes it's by providing the opportunity through a program. And each time those folks come forward and make a commitment because they're passionate about what the Boys and Girls Club is doing, hundreds of kids' lives are changed.
Speaking of lives changed, we're honored today to also have Miss Alora Ellen. Alora, welcome.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
Let's go back 6 years.
Yes.
You're 12 years old. Tell us about your life, what kind of student you were, etc.
Okay, so when I was 12 years old, I had just joined Field Zone. It was like our first safe place to have in Southfield. And when I joined, I was a good student, but not a great student. Barely did work sometimes, you know. I was kind of slacking, but I was like in the mediocre range, you know. So I didn't do so well, but I didn't do so bad. And I was really just quiet and just, you know, I stood in the back. I didn't really have much to say. So, you know, I just kind of followed with the flow.
Well, your GPA at the time was 1.6. All right. And one day you meet a lady, Barbara Pilarski, the Vice President of Business Development at Chrysler.
Yes.
Changed your life, changed her life. What happened?
So I was asked to join a women's mentorship program at Chrysler. And I met with the VP of Business Development, Barbara Pilarski. And so that day we got shown around Chrysler, and it was just so nice to see like everything working. And we met with these empowered women. And so we broke off in groups, and I was speaking to Ms. Pilarski, and she was talking to me about my failing grades and how I wasn't doing so well in school. But it wasn't just your natural, you know, oh yes, do better, you know. So she really listened and understood, and she helped me. She even related to me about her daughter. And it was really nice having her sit there and talk to me, actually work with me, because I felt like I didn't have that at the time. And not only that, she even checked on me after we left the program. She would contact me and, you know, see how I was doing, check in. And that was really nice, because someone in her power, you wouldn't think that they would come back and say, Alora, how you doing? But she did. And it was really nice to have somebody like that.
Alora, what's the biggest thing Barbara Pilarski taught you?
She taught me that you need to do your work, you know? You can't blame anybody for your failures. You have to be able to sit there and, you know, discipline yourself. And she taught me that it's okay to stumble a few times, but you need to get back up and do it, you know? You can't stop. And from that day forward, I just didn't stop. I couldn't make excuses anymore. It was my time to really hold on and really do what I have to do.
All right, so that was 2009. You're a 1.6 student. Not a good student, you know. Not much enthusiasm, zest for life. Let's jump ahead. You've just graduated
Yes.
from Southfield Lakewood High School. with a GPA of 3.9. You're going to major in music education at Bowling Green State University starting in the fall. And every year, the Boys Cubs Girls Clubs of Michigan, with 70,000 members, select the Student of the Year. And we've been listening to her. So you're one out of 70,000. Young lady, that's tall cotton. How did it happen?
Well, first, I would like to say that I am blessed. And I really just want to give thanks because that's really what got me here today. And not only him, but just for the fact that I've had people help me along the way. It's just an honor being Michigan Youth of the Year and having the support of the Boys and Girls Club there. They supported me through the process even before then. And it finally feels like all my hard work and all the things that I've been through in the past, like they're paying off. And so that's something that I can just, I don't even know how, I just thank the lucky stars.
If there's a listener tonight, and the website again is www.boysandgirlsclubs.us. If there's a mom tonight listening that says, my son or daughter, Alora, is not good at sports, very shy, regularly bullied. I've gone past the clubs many times, but I can't have them join because they're going to be bullied. What are you going to say?
No, you're not going to get bullied. When a lot of people say it's the safest place, some people don't really listen to that, but it really is. There is no bullying. There is like, it's just that warmth feeling. Like you feel like you're welcomed. You feel like you have people there that are supporting you. They don't put you down. You feel like, even if you don't have a family, you feel like you just made some of the best friends of your life. And there is no, oh, you know, you're not going to amount to anything. No, they work with you until you amount to something. And that's just something that you really don't find everywhere. And it's never going to be the fact that he's going to feel left out. He's going to feel like he's an outsider because there's something for everyone. There's a staff member for each set of kids, you know, somebody that really connects with somebody. So I tell her to go drop her kid off and let them experience it because they are going to have the time of their lives.
Miss Alora Allen, if you ever start a business and sell stock in that business, call Jackie. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Brett Talander, who since 2014 has also been the CEO of Renaissance Unity Church, the Church of Today, on I-696 near Hoover, the old Jack Boland Church. Tell us about Renaissance Unity Church.
You know, I think one of the things that makes Renaissance Unity or the Church of Today such a special place is that since its inception, it's been focused on creating hope and opportunity for people to walk in and learn and experience what it means to come together as a community that's focused on living a life that you desire. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, we often now talk about now what. So once you have come to learn principles that work, that you can apply in your daily lives, that you can heal, that you can forgive, that you can live a prosperous life, the question then comes, now what? And part of our intention now at Renaissance Unity is to really focus on that now what. How do we take on the biggest issues that are facing this region, whether it's watching women walk out of prison with very little for them to be able to build a life with, or we look at our African-American males who are graduating from high school in the city with an abysmal graduation rate, but a need to be able to feed their families and to plan for a future. So one of the things that we're really excited about at Renaissance Unity is the opportunity for people to build their lives, but at the same time, once they have begun that focus and have had success in that arena, focusing now on what matters most and making a difference. It's one thing to just equip yourself and grow your own life, but it has become something more important that we're all called to do, which is to leave this planet in a better way because we were here, and that we have a responsibility to show up in a significant way. And at Renaissance Unity, we have an incredible gathering of people who are committed to that, growing individually and personally, but also committed to making a difference in the world.
www.renaissanceunity.org. On September 19th, you've got a phenomenal lineup of speakers coming. Tell us about that event.
Renaissance 2015. It is an incredible, it's going to be an incredible day. We've got Marianne Williamson, who is going to be keynoting the event. We have the opportunity to have Ava DuVernay, the director of Selma, and it sounds like she's been recently tapped to produce the next Marvel movie. Lema Bowie, the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize winner. Ricky Byers-Beckwith, who anybody who knows Michael Beckwith and Ricky, they have been transforming the world. And of course, from ABC, Cokie Roberts, who will also be joining us. And Detroit's very own Kem, who will be with us. And if you take a look at our website tomorrow, you'll hear an exciting announcement. The keynoter who will kick off our conference will be announced tomorrow.
www.renaissanceunity.org. If Jack Boland's listening down this evening, he would say, wow, this is a lineup. Once again, the presenters.
We have Marianne Williamson, who will be keynoting. We have Lema Bowie, who's the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize winner, who will be sharing with us. Cokie Roberts from ABC. Ava DuVernay, the director from Selma. Ricky Byers-Beckwith, Detroit's very own Kem. And tomorrow, a special announcement.
www.renaissanceunity.org. Brett, you and your wife, Liz, were blessed with twins, Will and Sloan, in 2010. So you run Boys and Girls Club of Oakland and Macomb Counties for the last 14 years. Now you run Renaissance Unity Church, Church of Today as well. You're the president of Community Coalition. On and on and on with boards, baseball, etc. If giving back was a muscle, Brett Talander, you would be Mr. Universe. Why do you give back so much?
You know, I learned it at a young age. You know, and at every time in our lives, there are moments where we're brought to our knees, and in that experience, we have to make a commitment that no matter what that experience has been, that we have a responsibility to rise up and to make a difference for people. So through the Boys and Girls Club, whether that's at Renaissance Unity or in other opportunities, I've learned from a lot of great people over the years that the important thing is that you connect with people who are in front of you and you do your best to make a difference. By no stretch of the imagination would I ever be confused for Mr. Universe, but I will make sure that today I'll do what's mine to do.
The Z generation are the kids that have been born after January 1st, 2000. Tell us about the Z generation.
Well, it's so funny. You know, all this focus on millennials and the Z generation and young people, I am inspired by what they bring. They are uncomfortable with where we're at right now. They are uneasy, and what they're uneasy about are things that we need to really address in this country. I am excited about what we can see for the future, what they will bring. I believe that we have kind of gone through a period of time where we haven't dreamed in this country. I remember President Kennedy and learning about him and his call to go to the moon. It is time for this country. It is time for society. It is time for the next generation to step up and send out a message that says, this is where we're headed. This is where we're going. It has been a deafening silence in this country for a very long time about what is it that we're going to do to rise up and what are we going to do to change. And I think that uneasiness that we see in the current generation, those kids who are here today, they're uneasy with the fact that we are complacent. They are committed to a higher calling. They want to work for companies that are committed to making a difference locally. You listen to CEOs today, they're all struggling with, how do I keep my young employees engaged and believing in what we're doing because they're challenging me. Everyone is feeling this pressure, and that pressure is going to lift us higher. I embrace it. I believe it's what's going to be the hope for the future. I'm excited about it.
Speaking of hope for the future, many kids today don't believe they have any value. And they just sit in front of that screen, play video games, watch pornography. They're hermits. What do you say to those kids?
Well, I get inspired by people like Laura Allen, who realized that by applying herself in life, she could create a future that she was excited about. Not one that was forced on her or suggested to her, but one where inside of her, she realized that every day that she's on this planet is a gift, and that within her, she has the opportunity to express that in the way that she chooses to. You can choose to do all the things that you just listed, Jack, or you can choose to be able to do something within your day that makes you able to sleep at night, where you feel like you have the opportunity to show up and make a difference, to express yourself in a meaningful way, and that tomorrow, when you wake up again, that you're committed to doing it in a new way and in an impactful way. And I believe that kids are not wasting their time. It's just time for them to begin to apply themselves.
As our time winds down together, Laura Allen, the 2015 Michigan Youth of the Year, one of 70,000. What advice would you give to our young listeners?
My advice would be the very best person that you can be. Don't let anything or anyone hinder you from what you have to do. Don't make excuses for yourself, because everybody has the opportunity to be great. And just don't let anything get in your way.
Fabulous. You've got a golden future. Golden future. What a spokesperson for the Boys and Girls Clubs. Brett, the two greatest commandments, love your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You do those two very well. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoke.